Mike Denier from sportsonearth.com joins us. There's no diving in football, is there, Mike?
There's no diving, except once in a while you'll see the quarterback make a little extra maneuver, and a lot of times you'll see the punter make that little extra maneuver if there was a little bit of contact, and he'll fall to the ground. No one acts like they got shot, though. And that's what got me with the World Cup. It's like these little contacts and the flamboyance of it. It's a William Shatner, Captain Kirk death scene every time. It's one thing to lay it on a little bit thick, but for goodness sakes, it was not the day after. You did not just get nuked. And you should not get a penalty. You should get a penalty for doing it, not for getting away with it.
100% in agreement with you, Mike. We are getting closer and closer all the time to preseason and then the regular season in the NFL. Right now, today, just based on paper, which team do you think improved themselves the most in the offseason?
Well, there's a couple teams that improved themselves. And one of the ones that did it the most, that had the least improvement to do, was the San Francisco 49ers. When you add an unbelievable draft class, when you add Jimmy Ward, a great player in the draft, and you take Stevie Johnson, you know, a guy who has the ability to be an elite wide receiver, and you get him for pocket change, that's the difference between becoming like a 12-4 team who's in the conversation for a championship and a prohibitive favorite for a championship. You know, there's a couple others along the way. Like, we can talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and all the changes they made, but there's a big difference between going from 4-12 to maybe 9-7 and going from championship-level team to the team to beat. And I think that's what the 49ers did.
Mike, I got to ask you, is Johnny Manziel going to be money in Cleveland this year?
He's going to be money for me. He's going to be money for me. I mean, every time a photo gets snapped, I get 10 phone calls and I get to write an article about something silly. Hey, is he going to be money for the Cleveland Browns? I think that when everything starts, all this ridiculousness that we've got where every move he makes seems to get photographed, he's got paparazzi following him around like he's Paris Hilton, that stuff's going to go by the wayside, and we're going to see another rookie quarterback. I think we're going to see another good rookie quarterback, like the ones we saw a couple of years ago, maybe not a Luck or RG3 or Russell Wilson, but a guy who can come in and compete right away for a starting job. And I think a lot of this craziness is going to get minimized right away. I think there is so much smoke and so little fire with this kind of off-season with the Swans and the beer and the Vegas and everything like that. It's just a story that has its own life and it has its own, you know, like weather system. And I think that's going to go away. You're going to see a regular quarterback when the time comes.
You talked about the 49ers improving. The Seahawks defending champs, and man, they did it in convincing fashion, blowing out the Denver Broncos in the championship game. You know, that division, it's tough, those two back and forth. Did Seattle lose anything of concern at all in your mind as far as player personnel in the offseason?
Yes, when you add it all up, and you can take each guy and say, oh, we can eliminate that. We can lose Clinton McDonald, and we can lose some of the other depth guys on the defensive line. And can you lose a Golden Tate because you can say, well, Percy Harvin will be back, which is what we've been saying for 5 or 6 years, that Percy Harvin will get back. And then when you put it all together, you realize there's a little loss here, there's a little loss there, there's a little loss there. You know, in another division, I wouldn't worry about it. But in that division, you know, the NFC West is what, like, the NFC East was 20 years ago, when the Cowboys were stomping over everybody and the Redskins were right behind them and the Giants still had Parcells and they were right behind them. That's where you're at with this division. So if you say, oh, it's a 5 or 10% loss, we won the Super Bowl 48-8 or whatever, it's no big deal. It is a big deal because you wind up going 3-3 in that division very easily, you know, with the talent you have to face. All of a sudden, you're not getting home games in the playoffs. It is a problem. It's not a huge problem because they're a phenomenal team, but it's just that the bar isn't set that high in the NFC West.
Mike, on the other end of the scale, any of the big boys dropped off noticeably in your mind this year? I mean, we're projecting, but anybody much weaker than they were last season?
Right off the bat, the Carolina Panthers. You know, I put the Panthers in almost at the level of the Niners and Seahawks last year. When they were facing each other in the playoffs, I thought this could happen. These guys could sneak up on the other teams. And then they have lost so much in the offseason. They lost their entire receiving core, Steve Smith and all the guys around Steve Smith. They had losses on their offensive line where Jordan Gross retired. He was kind of waiting by the phone for, like, an offer to come back. They're going to replace him with, you know, some guy from the practice squad and, like, a mid-round pick. You know, they're having legal problems right now where Greg Hardy, you know, is just convicted. And this is not one of those minor little off-season things. This is a big deal thing. This is an aggravated assault with some nasty charges around it. It's going to lead to a suspension. This team has fallen off significantly, and it changes the power in the NFC where somebody who should have been third in the conversation drops out, and who takes the place? teams like the Saints and the Packers take their place, and it kind of upsets everything that you're looking at once you look past the big two in the NFC.
Mike Tenier from SportsOnEarth.com joins us. The Philadelphia Eagles last year, everybody was raving about their offense early on. It was so exciting to watch. What do you make of the Eagles now, having lost a guy who – now, I know DeSean Jackson, you can say whatever they want about him, but you know what? He's still a playmaker at times. Are the Eagles still going to be one of the most exciting teams in your mind?
I think they're going to be exciting. I think that if you really look game by game at what happened last year, you know, some of the games that have defined this incredible statistical record they have right now, I think 2,500 rushing yards, one of the best rushing seasons in history. There were a couple of times they did sneak up on teams. I'm talking about the Redskins in the beginning of the season. I'm talking about the Raiders, who just did not have the horses. And those games are not going to happen anymore. That said, they still have plenty of excellent games against very good defenses, and you're going to see more of that. You're going to see more of that as this season goes on. I think the loss of DeSean Jackson is going to be a little bit of a factor, but if you look at what they did in the offseason, they got Jeremy Maclin back. They signed Jordan Matthews, who I think is the most game-ready of the young wide receivers. You know, he's not as impressive athletically as some of them, but he's pretty darn impressive athletically, and he's coming in ready to play from day one. They're going to be very strong on offense. It's not going to be historic, and it's not going to be the story of the league, but it's still something that's going to keep them in the playoff picture.
Mike, will the Jacksonville Jags be also-rans this year, or are they any kind of contender in your mind?
I think the Jaguars, I think they've moved up to also-ran. And I think, you know, when you said also-ran there, I'm like, oh, yeah, we can promote them from sort of laughing stock or like trouble thing to somebody who now can get into the 500 picture. And I think when you look right away at quarterback, you say, okay, Blake Bortles is coming up from a mid-major conference. They're going to have Chad Haye probably for the first half of the year because as talented as Bortles is, he won't be ready. That's a factor. Running back is a factor where they really don't. You know, they're bringing in Toby Gerhardt. I know I've heard a lot of good buzz about him. He's a career, you know, number two back. But you look at the flip side, a lot of positive things went on. I think the receiving core finally, after 5 or 6 years, is really strong. They brought in a lot of young guys. They've got Cecil Short and Ace Sanders. They just signed Marquise Lee. That's a good receiving core. I think Gus Bradley is adding the pieces that they need on defense. And at least we can start talking about them week to week of saying, this is a team with a chance. This is a team that can beat some of the bottom feeders that they've been, you know, at the bottom of the ocean with for a while and get their way back. Maybe we can talk next year and we'll see how Bortles develops and some of these other guys develop into taking that next step.
One last one for you, Mike. With all of the talk with Jimmy Graham, you know, trying to get the designation changed from a tight end to a wide receiver, and the judge said no because of where he lines up, do you think that will change at all in the future as far as the wording and the potential of the maximum a tight end can make compared to a wide receiver?
It's going to be years. It's going to be when the collective bargaining agreement is reopened. There's not going to be either side is going to say, man, we have to fix this now because what happens when the next Jimmy Graham comes along? What happens if he signs a contract extension? The NFLPA will say, well, who cares? It works out okay in the end. When that time comes, they're going to have to look at that because the language has fallen incredibly behind the times where you have these very specific designations. A good example isn't tight end and wide receiver. It's defensive end and outside linebacker. You got these guys who get, you know, 15 sacks a year, and a team could play games with them and say, well, you know, we're going to classify you as whatever's cheaper for us. I think both sides will look at it. I'm talking about 5 or 6, 7 years down the road when the CBA comes back in and say, maybe we should put these numbers based on past performance, things like reception totals and sack totals can disturb in your franchise tag number instead of the position. And I think both sides will look at that and come up with something a little more fair. They'll never come up with something 100% fair unless they get rid of the franchise tag. And neither side seems interested in doing that.
Mike, always good to catch up with you. We'll do it again. I know there's lots of other teams to get to. We can't get to all of them in a segment, so we'll do it again soon. Appreciate your time.
Always a pleasure. Camp starts next week.